So no video?
There's that picture.
No, it's okay. So you guys, you heard 44 praising good qualities of other people? Maybe? We got nothing. We
St. Louis, where you at?
Kicked out
Webster. Yeah, now they're kicked out of Webster. So they're going to go upstairs to the restaurant and see if they can hotspot from there.
I took that picture.
You did?
Yeah.
Before they burned it down? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think it's fire. They used it for firewood. Which is cool, because when you burn it, you get blue flames. Very cool.
Blue and red and green.
It did get finished at the end. See it? I think that's what happened. It got finished and then they kicked us out because they just wanted the tree.
Oh.
Did you guys have to paint it over?
Yeah.
What?
Did you have to paint it over?
Yeah, we like hired painters, didn't we?
I thought so.
Had to paint everything back to some
white
thing, and
I think they were just white walls.
We didn't, yeah. We didn't do so much dumb shit, didn't we?
So the last two on our list are faults of failing to overpower. So these are in reference to wrathful activity.
Okay, if that doesn't work, just call me.
Of the Bodhisattva.
All right, bye.
And usually, wrathful activity is very much limited to those that are in advanced yogic training, meaning out of the four or six levels of yoga, depending on which tradition you're in, which lineage, you're in the upper two. This is when you start to work with wrathful activity. In the Chan tradition, wrathful activity is usually reserved for those that are highly accomplished, like very, very highly accomplished in their practice. So 45 is whenever it is necessary. And so when we use the word necessary, we mean that in the most literal sense. When it is absolutely necessary, you must use force. It's a requirement. So it says, if because you're lazy, or you're angry, or even if have your own like problems of fear and self-doubt, you fail to use force, and you do not expel somebody, or punish, or deflate the arrogance of another when it's necessary, you break this vow. So there are times when you need to bring somebody down. There's also times, and this is specific as an employer, as any position of leadership, there are times when you have to expel somebody from your group.
Hello.
There's also times when you need to actually punish others. Now,
that
doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to like spank them. Obviously, that it can mean that, but it does mean that some form of a wrathful activity will get their attention. Generally, this is done when you have wisdom and the skillful means in order to perform it. You can't just go up and like start a fight with somebody because you think that's the best thing to do. You absolutely have to have a tremendous amount of skill and wisdom that gives you insight to know whether this would work or not. But if it will work, you're required to do it. That's it. That's the vow. Because it says in the text, in some situations, it does require a forceful action in order to stop great harm, either to the person themselves or to others or whatever it might be. You will be required to use force. 46. Continuing with the idea of 45, but this is for those that are not part of your community, because the other one is, right? You can't expel somebody if they're not in your community. You can't punish somebody that's not within your system. And you certainly can't deflate the arrogance of somebody not in your community either. It just that won't work. So, 46, for those that either have it naturally or it has developed through their personal practices, they develop wrathful, extraordinary CDs. They're required to use those when it benefits others. So here we'll read the text. It says you should use whatever wrathful, it says or miraculous, but we're talking about whatever kind of wrathful activity, whatever kind of wrathful magical abilities you may have, you must use those when the situation would benefit other living beings. If you don't use them when it's appropriate for you to do so, you break this vow. Be very careful, however, that you do not make a display of these abilities when it is not really of great benefit. So, bodhisattvas, this is the thing in the Buddhism. You're not to perform miracles in order to gain people's attention. We're not like the Nazarene. We don't go do tricks like watch me turn this water into margaritas. You don't do that. You certainly don't stand up in the middle of a temple and take off your hat and say, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat, and it comes out a big rhino. Like Bullwinkle? We don't do that either. We don't perform these activities in order to cause awe or to make somebody believe in us or in order to gain the following of another. We don't magnetize people with magical power. We use our magical power when appropriate. A great example of that is Yoda. Would demonstrate nothing to his students ever unless it was of great benefit to the student. So, one of his last students, actually I think it is his last student, that guy had such self-deprecating issues and so low self-esteem. I mean, he was terrible. And his teacher, who happens to be the greatest of all of them in the lineage, takes him on and is like, oh, what's this in your bag? You know, and is just like having all this fun with him. And he's flipping out. He's all upset. And he's like, wow, just relax, man. He's like, no, I can't freaking relax. I'm looking for my master. Right? He's bent out of shape. So he starts getting trained by this master. And he's still flipping out. Oh, I can't do anything. He's like, well, what does you need to do? Well, my spaceship fell in the water. Well, just make it come out of the water. No, I can't. Yeah, just use your power and just make it come out. I tried, it didn't work. There's no try. You just do it. sees no demonstration at all. Nothing. In fact, you have to watch a lot of movies before you even see him demonstrate any activity at all in fighting. But he's like, we don't even know if he knows how to fight. And then when he does fight, everybody's like, he's terrifying to watch because he kills like 25 people in 2 seconds. And never touches the ground the entire time. You see? No demonstration. And then finally, he gets pissed at his student. And he's like, oh, Jesus, you're such a... so stupid. And then he goes... and it comes up out of the water. And the student craps himself, going, oh my God, I know you can do that. And he's like, yeah, see, it's no big deal. Is that what you wanted to see? Now are you happy? Right? So... Don't use them for displays. But if you find somebody possessed, use them to overcome the demons that are haunting them. Use them for those kind of purposes. The text ends with, the purpose of keeping these 18 root and 46 branch vows is to prevent your bodhicitta, your enlightened mind, from denigrating... and to make it develop continuously. A person who has taken these enlightened mind vows should endeavor to keep them purely. That means to the best of your ability, which, as you develop, so should the depth and skill of your vow. These enlightened mind vows are also the means to help other living beings, the means to avoid harming them, and the way to accumulate merit. Everybody understands why you need to accumulate merit, right? Because without the accumulation of merit, you get no more dharma. Your causes and conditions to hear it and see teachers and all that kind of stuff will disintegrate. So you must have merit. All positive thoughts and deeds are encompassed by the root and branch enlightened mind vows. You take these vows with the intention to attain enlightenment in order to benefit all living beings. Not for the purpose of being a great Jedi master. Not for the purpose of being able to stop a thunderstorm from happening. And controlling the weather and all these other techniques. No, it's not the point of taking these vows. It's to attain enlightenment for the benefit of all other living beings. It may take many lifetimes to attain enlightenment, so it is important to ensure not only that your enlightened mind vows do not denigrate during this lifetime, but also that circumstances do not arise that will prevent you from maintaining the practice of the vows in future lifetimes. That is also why you need merit. Because you need to be continuously working positively to create your future existence. Which, as we've talked about before, is going to be insanely difficult to attain even a human form, let alone to be able to take up where you left off. But that is exactly what you need to do if you don't attain it in this lifetime. Alright, so I had mentioned that we would finish these up and then we would move on to do Tonglen, and we are not going to do Tonglen in 15 minutes. It's just not going to happen, because Tonglen is a very deep and profound topic, and I want to be able to talk about it very well. So, next week, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give the Tonglen initiation which means basically I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it, and then we're going to do the slogan in the text, which is about it. So basically you're going to get pith instruction, initiation, and what we would call the lung, or the transmission. So you're going to get all three parts that are required for somebody to actually have a practice. Which, side note for the last few minutes here, let me explain about practices. Because we've got some people that are going out to, well, I don't know where they're going, but they're going to go get something to do with the 21 Taras. We've got other people that have gone off and done, I don't know, medicine, Buddha, whatever. There's all these different practices out there. Because you go and you sit in on these practices does not mean that you actually have the practice. There are three conditions that need to be met in order for a person to say that they have the practice. They must have an authentic initiation. That means somebody qualified to give an empowerment transmits the empowerment to them. That is the physical blessing from all the lamas all the way back to the point of Shakyamuni Buddha or its origination. We say or its origination because not all teachings or practices come from Shakyamuni Buddha. Sometimes they're given by other Buddhas, and they're given in the form of termas and so on and so forth. But without getting too crazy, we're not going to discuss that. The second element is called transmission. So you have empowerment or initiation, and you have transmission. Transmission, lung, is the wind transmission. That is this verbal blessing that empowers you to say whatever words or mantras are contained in the practice. So if the practice has prayers in it, for you to effectively say those prayers, read them, it requires another reading transmission, is what it's called sometimes, because it refers to the verbiage in words. Now, just because you get a blessing and you get the word transmission does not necessarily mean that you will know how to even perform the practice. So the third and last part is a thing called pith transmission. And pith, anybody know what that word means? You know what it means?
Can you spell it?
P-I-T-H.
Instruction. It's like condensed. Okay.
Yeah, pith is like the cliff notes on how to perform the activity. Sometimes they're very dense, in which my teacher likes to use the word pithy. It's really pithy, which means it's super dense in the amount of information being handed to you about how to perform. I mean, it can talk about things like your hand position, of the way you hold a ritual instrument during the practice and how it's moved. So, like, when I come down and I teach mudras, that's pith instruction. So you need all three of these in order to say that you have a practice. Because that completes the what they call the three pillars of any practice. If you're missing any of those, yeah, you have some of it, but you don't have the whole entire practice.
So what was the empowerment, pith, and what was the third one?
Pith is the third one.
Yeah.
So you have empowerment, also known as initiation sometimes. And the second is transmission. Transmission. And then the third is pith. So often you'll see empowerment, transmission, and pith, right? And a lot of times teachers will give transmissions, but they don't give the empowerment. Or they'll give like the empowerment and pith with no transmission, which means you can't really read the text, or you shouldn't. But you have the blessing as if, you know, hey, look at this, I got all the blessing from all the Vajrakalayas. I just can't practice them. You know, or you get the first two, and then you're like, yeah, I've got it, but I don't know how to do it. I have the text, but, you know, I mean, the texts are very esoteric. They don't explain how to do anything. So that's how those work. Lastly, if you become really great at a practice that you have, there's a secret fourth one, which is the transmission of the lineage, in which a lineage holder consecrates or blesses you as being a matriarch or patriarch of that practice, allowing you to give the three pillars to others. So, reading through the vows, you guys now have pith instruction for how to do the vows. When you take the vows, I will be giving you the blessing, lineage blessing. So, this isn't really going to matter to you guys, but you're going to get the blessing from my Nyingma lineage and my Kagyu lineage, my Cha lineage, and Master Sun Yun's lineage. Because when I give Bodhisattva vows, all of this comes to you. You get the blessing of all of those lineages as far back as they go. The transmission will be, we will read each of the vows. I mean, really quickly. We're just going to be like, you know, I vow not to, and I vow not to, and I vow not to, and I... And that's your transmission. And so you'll have all three pillars, and then you're ordained with the vows of being a bodhisattva. Then it's your responsibility to develop them. Because you never get vows that you've already accomplished. You only get vows to accomplish something. So that's how that works. Any questions? So some people have emailed me some questions. And a lot of those are going to be kind of fielded as we move along through the course. I can't remember if there was one that was useful for tonight. Sorry if there was. Remind me next week and I'll bring it up. Otherwise, if you don't get responses, sometimes I'm just going to respond to you and say, that's coming up. That means just hold tight. Because there'll be a whole either slogan or a training that's going to discuss it. Any questions for tonight? Everybody understands the vows, basically, to some extent? If you don't, feel free to email me and be like, what the hell? The recording will go up as quickly as possible so that you have ample time to study these. I highly recommend listening to them a lot, paying attention to them, reading the text that you have. Everybody's received a copy of them, right? Everybody's got the vows.
Yes.
Yeah. So, do that. Very important, because this is no small thing. This is big deal. All right, and then pretty soon here, I'm going to have to start working on a schedule to come down and give these guys to you. So, great. I'll see some of you on Sunday. If I don't see you Sunday, I'll see you in class next Thursday. Thank you, guys.